Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this moment. It might be a day where some people are. It might be in a different time when people watch a repeat broadcast of this time. But one thing is sure, Lord, your word abides forever. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank you for this opportunity you've given me to be a vessel that you will speak through. Lord, I ask, oh God, that you purge my conscience, purge me. And Lord, I ask that you speak to your people, speak to someone tonight. And Father, as we're in the season where the heavens are open, Lord, let tremendous miracles, transformation take place tonight. Let there be a resetting of our minds. Let there be a transformative power that will be released as I'm confident that you will do. Lord, begin to step into houses, into hearts, and into lives right now and do that which you have purposed to do from the foundation of the earth. Thank you for tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor. Thank you for the opportunity. Tonight, I just want to share with us my own Bible study, my own journey with God, as relates to what God is saying to us in this season. I've been in Love Assembly for almost 15 years, if my calculation serves me right. And when I joined, God spoke to me before I came to Liverpool that he was sending me to Love Assembly. I didn't know the name of the church. I wasn't in the Redeemed Christian Church, but he spoke to me and directed me to Love Assembly. And when I came to Love Assembly, I noticed one thing. And what I noticed was within the every last 12 days of the year, the church declares a fast. Not the traditional fast, not the the normal fast, but it's time and a season where we wait on God, and every day within those last 12 days signifies a month in the coming year. And we usually receive a word that anchors the year, and it has been a tremendous blessing learning that practice, learning that devotion, and that culture, and it has been a tremendous blessing. And over the years, I started understanding God more, and I'm hoping that what I'll share with you tonight, I'll share with us tonight, would help us understand God a little bit more. I'm giving context to what the Lord laid in my heart to share, because it's important to understand the foundation. And one of the things I learned is that the theme for the year is the overarching purpose of God for us and for his people and for anyone who keys into it, not just the local assembly, anyone who keys into it. Because you find Jesus giving the parable of the master who hired people at different times. He hired some early, he hired some in the midday, he hired some probably an hour or thereabout before close of play. And everyone received the same benefit. So it doesn't matter when you joined the fellowship or whether you're just passing by. What matters is our heart tonight to receive. So at the start of this year, of the last retreat we had in 2021, God spoke a word to us, and he said, manifesting the glory of God upon the earth, manifesting. And the way God works with us is he speaks the end from the beginning. So when God says manifesting the glory, telling us as a fellowship that he is a mandate, is his budget, is his agenda, it is manifesto for every family, for every individual in 2022. He wants us to manifest his glory, manifest the glory of the Father and the glory he has put on us on the earth, wherever is earth for you in 2022. But what God does is that he speaks that word, he speaks the end product, and then every month he speaks a word that if we follow, if you take it as a sentence, so if we take his word in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, if you take it in context, similar to the Bible, you know, the 66 books by different 40 or thereabout different authors, it's gives you the whole counsel of God. So you can't take one in isolation, although you could take one scripture, you could take one verse, and it will change and transform your life. But to understand the purpose of God, you have to understand it from Genesis to Revelation. So similar thing he does. So he speaks month by month, and you need to take it in context to understand and to actually manifest the glory of God. So in January, he said to us, be strong. Be strong in our decisions. Be strong in our pursuits. Be strong in our faith. Be strong in our resolve. Be strong in our hunger for God. Be strong to cut off certain things and relationships and do away with certain things. Be strong to stand to see what God would do. Be strong in declaring the word of God. Be strong because there's a fight coming. Be strong to fight. Let not your arm be weak, be weary. But in February, he then says towards divine innovation. And we take our text from Judges chapter number 15. And if you permit me to go into Judges chapter 15, we begin to get a glimpse of what the Lord is saying. So before I read it, just to reiterate, divine innovation is the word for this season, okay? What is divine innovation? If you split it, divine and innovation. Divine, it's God, is the spirit of God, it's spiritual, right? Innovation talks about, by definition, doing something new or doing something entirely new. The innovation is it's a noun. It's a noun. So it's the action or the process of introducing something new, of doing old things in new ways. It also means to make changes to something established. So that's the action and the process of innovating is innovation. But innovate, the word, is a verb. Like I said, well, it's a Bible study, so I'm taking my time to lay the foundation. So innovate is a verb. It's to make. It's a verb. It's an action word or doing word. To make something, to make changes in something established. To introduce something new. To birth something new, an idea, a solution, place. It could be anything. But it's introducing something new. Pastor's definition, I borrowed Pastor's definition from his teaching on Sunday, the application of a new idea, method, device, through the inspiration, wisdom, help, and power of the Spirit of God that brings, added value, benefit, healing to mankind. Okay? So divine innovation has to do with one, innovate, the verb, the action part of it, the something new. It could be an idea, a product, a service, a method, a device, that is inspired by God, which is the divine, where the divine comes in, inspired by the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, it cannot be innovation. And besides, there's nothing that was created, that was made, that was not made by him and through him and for him. So, but God wants us to not to miss out the divine element of it, which is the God element, which is the Spirit of God element, for the benefit of mankind. It has to benefit mankind. It has to achieve and fulfill God's purpose. God's purpose is for mankind. I'll break it down as we go along. Okay, so back to Judges chapter 15, where we took our text from, where God spoke to us from. If I run a bit of commentary, Samson, the story of Samson, he had he was betrothed to be married to somebody. They took the wife and gave to his friend, and then he went and caught foxes and tied them the tails together. You see the story in Judges chapter 15. It's a Bible study, so I encourage you to open up your Bible as well. And he destroyed, cut about 300 foxes and destroyed their livestock, destroyed the produce and the farms of the Philistines. And they were angry. They wanted to catch him and kill him. And they said, "We want to do to you what you have done to us." And his people, the people of Judah, actually arrested him and handed him over to the Philistines. Then if I start reading from verse 14, chapter 15, verse 14. "And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson, and the ropes on his arms became as flax that had caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands, and he found a still moist jawbone of a donkey, and reached out and took it, and slew 1,000 men with it. And Samson said, 'The jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men.'" Divine innovation. The story, as we've read, sees us meet, get introduced to Samson, who was bound. There was a bondage, there was a chain, and the chain was put on him by his people. The bondage was put on him by his background, by his passport, by his birthplace, by the place he was born, by his siblings, by his family. There are certain things in our DNA, there are certain things, you know, some diseases are hereditary. You don't know where it came from, but it just came upon you by virtue of where you were born. It's come upon you, some restriction, maybe your lack of education, your lack of a father figure, lack of love in your family. That's maybe it might be conflict where the part of the world where you come from. It might be things that are, you know, that could be traced back to your DNA, back to your bloodline. Hypertension, blood pressure. It could be the way you speak. It could be a deformity. It could be anything. These things were put on Samson by his own people. Not of his own making. They bound him. And they introduced him. They handed him over to the Philistines. Bound. And there was nothing this man could do. There was nothing he could do. He was practically helpless. It looked like his faith had been determined because of his skin color, because of his disposition, because of his, you know, born in poverty. And everybody, if you are brought into that scene from nowhere, you click, put on your TV and you saw that scene and saw the army coming, thousands of them coming to arrest one man, you and I will say there's no chance. There is no chance for Samson. There is nothing he can do. His fate has been determined. But can I tell you something? Because if you sometimes when we read the scriptures, that is why Jesus says that this, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. He would open your eyes. And I pray that the Lord opened your eyes tonight. Because in that scripture that we read, look at it again. Bible says, and the people came shouting against him. Their voices was loud. They were charging against him. Remember, they have been angry. They have been angry at what Samson did. Friends, can I tell you that the day Jesus set us free, the day Jesus delivered us, you see that in book of Revelation, Bible said, and when the dragon found out that the woman with the child had been taken, he was vexed and he charged against the offspring of the woman. Jesus has conquered and defeated Satan, and the devil knows that his time is short. So he's out to kill, to steal, and to destroy, charging. But he forgets one thing, which a lot of us Christians forget. And that is the person I want to introduce you tonight. The divine originator, the master originator of innovation. The Bible says that and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. The Spirit of the Lord. I want to introduce you to the person of the Holy Spirit tonight. Brethren, if you can understand the person of the Holy Spirit tonight, and I'm praying that you are praying as I'm praying, Holy Spirit, Father, open my eyes to this, to see the Holy Spirit tonight. Because if you and I understand the Holy Spirit, there will be a tremendous innovation that will lead to a transformation. Who is the Holy Spirit? I've seen this before. I've seen this. The Holy Spirit came mightily upon him. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, the Bible study. So let's go there. The Bible says that in the book of Genesis, if you read chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Ah, friends, in our lives, in our environment, in our country, there's an emptiness. In the world, there's an emptiness. There's this void. We're talking about mental health issues. We're talking about people despairing for life. We're talking about people not having hope. We're talking about people bound in sin, bound by iniquity, bound by the power of sin, bound because the enemy is out to steal, to kill, and destroy. He has deployed his arsenals. They have surrounded us. They are all over the place. Wickedness increasing in, Bible says, in the last days, iniquity will abound. But friends, this is the same situation in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 2. But Bible says, in that chaos, in that void, in that darkness, the Spirit of the Lord is introduced. He was moving upon the surface of the waters. Friends, can I tell you, if you introduce the Holy Spirit, if you can get introduced to the Holy Spirit, if you can bring the Holy Spirit into your darkness, into your void, into your confusion, into your calamity, I am telling you, that is the beginning of birthing of something that is innovative and transformative. The Holy Spirit came. When he comes, friends, I want you to relax. When the Holy Spirit comes, I want you to chill. I want you to chill. He's got everything under control. The Bible says, this same Spirit that was moving upon the face of the water, he moved upon the situation. He looked at that the decay. He looked at the emptiness. He looked and nothing faced him. Friends, nothing faces the Holy Spirit. Nothing intimidates him. Nothing makes him break sweat. He is the spirit of the invisible God. He's the dynamis. He's the power of God. Bible said he hovered upon the face of the water. And the Bible said the next thing God said, let there be light. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if he comes upon us, if we can introduce him, friends, innovation starts in the spirit. The innovation starts in the spirit and by the spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God that brings innovation. So you can't talk about innovation without the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you can say to me, but there are unbelievers who are innovating, they're creating things. It is the Spirit of God, I tell you. It is the inspiration of the Almighty. So if he can give this inspiration to sinners, to people that don't know him, how much you and I, made in the image of God, saved and delivered. The Bible says, this is what happens. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, the first thing that happened, if you are taking notes, is there was a breaking of the chain that they used to bind Samson. There was a breaking of the chain. I want us to go to the book of John, chapter 8, verse 36. It said, whosoever the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. Your mind has been liberated. Your heart has been illuminated. Your eyes have been opened. And it is a function of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes and releases us from the chains that has chained our minds, that says we can't make it, that says we're nothing, that says we're not worth it, that says you can't earn enough. What the chain does is the chain limits you. You can only earn a certain amount. The chain tells you you have to sell your body to be able to eat. The chain tells you that because of your skin color, you are limited. The chain tells you that no, the devil will kill you. The devil will destroy you. The chain limits you. The Bible says, the lazy man says, there's a lion on the way. There's a lion on the way. The chain limits your mind. The chain puts us in bondage. The chain tells us, no, nobody in my generation and my family has done this before. The chain holds us back. Friends, if you want to innovate, you must start with the person of the Holy Spirit, an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Because when you encounter the Holy Spirit of God, the next thing he does is he breaks chains in your mind. He breaks it. He destroys it. How does he destroy it? He destroys it through the word of God, through the power of God. If he can raise Jesus from the dead, if the Holy Spirit, just imagine, no, think about it. If the Holy Spirit can defy death, if the Holy Spirit can make something that is dead to come alive, imagine what he can do when we yield to him, when we engage him, when we ask him to truly come into our situation. So the chains around Samson was broken. The chain was broken. Friends, let me just tell you a little bit about the Holy Spirit, how he does his things. I want you to look at Psalm 104 verse 30. Psalm 104 verse 30. The Bible said, you, that's God, send forth your spirit. You send forth your spirit and they are created. Animals, solutions, people, babies, anything that is ever created. What the process of creation starts by God sending his spirit. Once God sends his spirit, everything, creation starts. Once God sends his spirit into a situation, creation starts. And the creative power of the Holy Spirit is so powerful that he can recreate, he can make things that are not seen become seen. So God sends his spirit. Again, it's a Bible study. So I'll take my time and show us how, the process how, okay? So I want to create anything, right? Because I'm made in the image of God. I'm made in the likeness of God. As I see him work, I can work. I work here at all, okay? So if God wants to create, what does he do? He sends his spirit, and his spirit creates things. How does he send his spirit, you might ask? I want us to look at John chapter 6, verse 36, okay? Because at the end of this Bible study, we are going to do some practicals, okay? We are going to do some practicals. We are going to create things, okay? John chapter 6, verse 63. John 6:63 says, It is the spirit who gives life. It is the spirit who gives life. So if you want life to come, if you want something that is, life means something that exists, an entity, a product, a service, something new, or something that is old, that is being revived. If you want a revival, if you want a new thing introduced, what you do is that you have to connect with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of God, because it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So the flesh has nothing to do with creation. It is the Spirit that gives life. The words that I have spoken to you, Jesus, this is Jesus speaking, and he said, the words that I've spoken to you contains two things. Listen, it contains, the every word of God contains two things. It contains the Spirit and it contains life. Spirit and life. So the Holy Spirit works through words. The Holy Spirit works through words. So that is why the Bible says you will have whatever you say. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. I'm already telling you the process of creation. Starts with the Spirit of God, a connection to the Spirit of God. And every human being who comes into the world, Bible says in the book of John chapter 1, right? Let's look at John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 3. If you understand this, it will transform your life. The scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 2, let me read from 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. All things came into being through the Word. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has been, that has come into being. So it is the Word of God that made all things. You see that in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. All things were created by him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians 1, 16. All things were made by him, for him. And how were they made? They were made by the Spirit. And the Spirit is embedded, is hid in the Word. And you might say, some people are not saved, but they're creating things. They're innovating vaccines. They're innovating satellite. They're innovating TV and smartphones. Why? Because they remember every human being was lighted by the light of God, was made by God. And so they have an element of the Spirit in him. They have an element of the God nature in every human being. That is why every human being has the capacity to create. Every human being, we are writing down, every child, every man, every woman listening to me, you have the ability and the capacity to create because you are made by God in the image of God. However, we that have been reconnected to the Spirit of God, we that have been saved, we have come into the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have the capacity to do more, exceeding far, abundantly, more than the people who have not been reconnected to God. So he says, the words that I speak, that is why people say, I don't have the will to live. And people die. Oh, I cannot be rich. I can't do this. I can't do this assignment. And they become what they say. Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. Okay, so I've showed you that it starts with the Holy Spirit. So God sends his Spirit and things are created. How does he send the Spirit? He sends it through his word. He sends it through actions as well. We'll come to that. But more importantly, it happens through the word. So God speaks his word. It contains the Spirit of God and life. That is why we need to be careful what we say. So now that we've established that, let's read one more scripture. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11, 2. If somebody's next to you, I want you to tap them and tell them you have the power to create. You have the power to innovate. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. For by it, they're talking about faith, by it the men of old gained approval. Verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. What you see, what becomes, doesn't come from what you see, it comes from the invisible realm. That is why God created some things that are invisible and created things that are visible. You see that, we've seen that in Colossians chapter 1. If you read 15, 16, 17, that is the way God creates, okay? So I've showed you how creation happens. So if you want to create something, you speak it into being, okay? From the Spirit, you speak it in the being. So God will say, let there be light. We see that part of creation that happens through the spoken word, okay? But let me show you the other side of creation or innovation that happens by, sometimes it happens, it starts with speaking the word and then action. Sometimes it happens by the instilling of the Holy Spirit and you discover it by accident. So there's a discovery. There's a discovery part of innovation, okay? So I'll show you. So before I go there, let me tell you why God is asking you and I to innovate, to activate the Holy Spirit to innovate in this season. Romans chapter 8. This is important. This is an anchor scripture. For Samson, the Philistines were coming against him. There was something attacking him, right? And he didn't keep quiet. He didn't just, you know, bury his hand and head in the sand. The Holy Spirit came. And when the Holy Spirit came, he activated something. Okay, which I'll show you. But let me read Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Okay. 8:18 says, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I started by telling you what God said at the beginning of the retreat of last year concerning 2022. And what God is saying concerning 2022 is that you see it in this scripture that I'm about to read, that I'm reading, that God wants us to manifest his glory. God wants you and I to showcase his glory in 2022. And one of the ways he wants us to do that is through divine innovation, to bring out new solutions, to bring new ideas, to give birth to new devices, to give birth to new vaccines, to give birth to new tools, and to give birth to new apps, to give birth to new plays, to give birth to new fashion statements, to give birth to new art, to give birth to new policies, to give birth to new technology. Because in doing so, he gets the glory. Okay? He wants new songs, new musical equipment. He wants new charity projects. He wants new products, new services. Why? Listen. It says, let me read this in the King James. Let me read this verse in the New King James. It says, verse 19. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the whole world in this post-COVID world is that they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because in the manifestation of you and I to the world, we manifest the glory. Say, let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify God. In our manifesting the glory of God on the earth, in families, in businesses, in academics, in the civil service, in with what is happening in the world today, in politics, manifesting the glory of God in the police force, in governance. When we manifest the glory of God, when we innovate new policies and come up with new ideas and new technology and new devices, when we show the Liverpool City Council how to save money and cut down their budget, they will see the glory they need to see. They need to see it. And when they see it, they would glorify God because the source will be God. It says, the earnest expectation of Liverpool and the world is waiting for the creation of the creation. Eagerly awaits for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation, the world, in this post-COVID world, have been subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. So God has subjected the world to poverty, subjected the world to allow things to happen, allow the devil run rampage, because he wants to manifest the glory of God. God allowed the children of Israel to capture Samson, to tie him up, and to push him to the Philistines. The Philistines were happy that they have been, that Samson has been bound, and they were coming to capture him, not realizing that the hidden wisdom of God is that, no, he has to be pushed to them. They have to think that he's defenseless, so that when they catch him, the glory of God will show. And what happened next? Going back to Judges chapter 15. And the Bible said, when the Holy Spirit of God came upon him, he did something. He found, mark that word, Samson found. Samson found. What does it mean to find? It means you've been looking for something. It means you are looking for something. It involves a process of looking around. Do you see a similarity with what the Holy Spirit did in the book of Genesis? When he looked around and hovered upon the face of the water, what does that mean? It has an element of observation. So Samson observed. He looked around. He assessed. He analyzed. He looked up. He must have done a quick mental math. How many people are coming against me? What direction are they coming from? What are they wearing? What weapons do they have? Who is their leader? What's the formation that are coming? Then he scoured his environment. He looked around. He assessed his environment. He looked at I'm standing on sand or I'm standing on rock. What are the things around me? Right? And what is happening is that the process of creation, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we must not bury our heads in the sand. We must look around to see what is happening. What is the bondage around? The recent bondage is mental health. A lot of people are going through mental health challenges. You must observe and analyze what the problem is. There's poverty. Oh, there's a lot of people, kids dropping out. There's a lot of this happening. There's a lot of this happening. You must assess your environment. Samson did the same. And when Samson looked around, he understood what the challenge was, what the problem is. Because when God wants to innovate through you, he looks around. He looks around. He analyzes. And when he does, the Bible says he found the jawbone of an ass. And when he found it, what he was telling, what the Holy Spirit was doing, the Holy Spirit was moving him. And Holy Spirit was looking for something, a channel. Let's quickly run now because of our time. I'll just show you a few innovations in the Bible, a few, because our God is a God of innovation. Before I do that, I want you to understand, I've said a few things. Innovation starts with the Holy Spirit in the spirit realm. So you must have a good connection with the Holy Spirit. You must listen. You must engage. You must download. You must be in tune with the Holy Spirit. You must be in tune with the Word of God. You must know what the Word of God says. You must know the capacity that the Word carries. You must know it is written. You must know. You must be a custodian, a student of the Word. And then you must then observe your environment. You must understand that you are valuable in the agenda of God in this season. You must know the role that God needs you, right? And that you must know that most times it's not where you're coming from. It's not your background. It's what God can do with you, all right? And what happened? What happened? It's a few examples. Have you ever wondered where clothes came from? Okay, let's quickly run. I'm going to give you a few innovations. Genesis chapter, you have taken note. I'll run very quickly. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Adam and Eve had sinned. And when they sinned, what problem became evident? The problem that they were naked. God observed. They observed that they were naked. I told you about the power of observation. Bible said, and the preacher said, I went by the farm, by the vineyard of a lazy man. I observed that it was overgrown with weeds. And observe, you see it in Proverbs, the observation. I looked through the window. I looked at the young men passing by. They saw this lady. They didn't know the lady is a harlot. The lady told them stories, street mouth. And the guy went and they didn't know that he observed. So observation is powerful. You must be very, very observant. To study times and seasons, to study weather, to study what's happening around you. Okay, you must understand that's a time to plant, a time to sow. That's a time you'll be young and a time you'll be old. If you don't observe that, you will just go and you perish. Bible says a wise man foresees evil and hides himself. You must be observant. So God observed, they all observed that they were naked. What the Bible says, also Adam and his wife, God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So God observed that the issue with clothing, right? He had to deal with it. So God innovated, killed an animal, used the animal skin, and made clothes for them. Innovation to cover up. So clothes are for covering up, not for revealing. It's to cover up. So God innovated, and that's how clothes came into being, right? But the clothes were in the animal. The skin. So an animal that was walking, a goat that was walking, do you see a solution in the skin? The furniture that you and I use, God didn't start making the furniture. He made a tree. So innovation starts in the spirit, because if you don't see in the spirit the way God sees, and if you don't observe that when human beings must have been walking, probably weren't sitting in comfortable seats. They must have been sitting on grass, on stones, but somebody must have thought, the spirit, let's make something, let's design it, let's make it this way. You observe that people don't have shoes. I can create shoes, innovation. So clothes, it's one innovation. And the second innovation is irrigation. I'll just give you the scripture to go and study for yourself. Genesis chapter 26, and Bible said, and Isaac planted in the land. So he wanted to go down to Egypt. Remember, Egypt was where the Nile was, the river Nile. So Egypt didn't really used to experience that much famine, because they had the Nile. They were very close to the Nile, and it made it easy. But God said to him, don't go down to Egypt. I want you to stay where you are. A lot of people must have migrated, but he stayed where he was, and God gave him the concept of digging wells. And in digging well, water comes out. So you don't need to go to the water. The water is in there. You pipe it out, you bring it out, and you water. You water your farm. So that's an innovation that God gave him. He was digging wells. And the people were covering the wells for some reason. You know, you see that happen. People that don't understand what God is doing with you will want to stop it. But they can kill and stop the well. But the innovation, the spirit, because you carry the spirit of God, everywhere you go, you find another well. Amen. The concept of silos. Silos, as you see in Bible, it's referred to as storehouses, where you store grain. You see that in the book of Genesis chapter 41, verse 56, that when the famine came in Egypt, after God, the Spirit of God has given the interpretation to Joseph, he gathered the grains, he stored a portion of it. And storing a portion of it was storing against weevils and termites and all that. God gave him the innovation, how to make it water, how to make that silos tight, watertight, airtight, so that weevils and animals, insects wouldn't destroy them. And then when there was famine, he opened it up and fed the people. So silos, it's storage systems. It's another God's innovation. If you look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 25, you know, I hear people, people argue needlessly. But we see that the water in Exodus 15, 25, they said the water was bitter, the water was poisonous. And the Bible said God showed Moses a tree. And he plucked the leaves of the tree, threw it into the water, and the tree had medicinal qualities. I studied forestry, and one of the modules I took was therapeutic medicine, that every plant has a medicinal function, medicinal quality. Some that you call poison could be re-engineered, and you bring out and extract some things from them that can heal. So it's God's wisdom, it's God's concept, it's God's idea. Every innovation, it comes from God. But imagine when Christians, people who have the Spirit of God, are not innovating, and then the sons of the world are innovating, they can then use it for wrong, which is why we must take our place. So we see water purification system using plants, another innovation. in crafts, in arts, in design, in fashion. We see that in the book of Exodus chapter 31, when God gave the Bezalel the wisdom, the skill on how to craft, you know, how to design pottery, how to design weave clothes, how to match them, how to construction, it's all the wisdom of God. How the tent would go, how ventilation will go, and the innovation, God's innovation, and human waste could be disposed. He says, when you don't defecate in the temp in the camp, go outside, dig a hole, defecate, and cover it, bury it. It then turns to manure. God's innovation. You see God talking about how to deal with mold in houses. It says the priest, it was actually the priest that were supposed to be the doctors. He said, observe if there's gangrene in the skin. This is what you do. Wash the clothes, sanitation, in God's innovation. You see also the innovation of the ark, of the ark that saved the world and saved Noah and his family in Genesis chapter 6. Nobody had ever seen an ark. Nobody had ever built one before. But God gave Noah the wisdom on how to design an ark, how to make it watertight so that when the flood came, he said, use tar the inside so that water will not penetrate, so that it can float. God's innovation. Genetics. We see that with Israel, Jacob, when the Spirit of God came and showed him how to crossbreed, how to take this, where to play when the animals are mating. Friends, God is in the business of innovation. And once we can tap into this innovative grace of the Holy Spirit in business, in politics, in social science, in philosophy, in psychology, in education, writing books and curriculum that kids can use that will change and shape their minds, when people can see the result, they will glorify God our Father. I'll stop here today, but I'll ask you to just pause. One of the things we learned, I want you to pause and ponder. What is it that is in bondage around you? What has God allowed happen around you? Who are the Philistines coming after you? That God doesn't want them to destroy you, but he wants to show you through his Spirit that you can pick up the jawbone of a donkey, something that people have thrown away. Today we see people that upcycle furniture. They call it rustic. They take furniture people are throwing away in the skips. They just do something with it and sell it for so much money. What is that doing to our world? It's helping reduce waste going to landfill. Friends, imagine you are the one that invented the vaccine by the Spirit of God. And you come out and say, this vaccine was invented by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. As they're giving you awards, you're saying it is the Lord. The world will know that anyone who takes the vaccine, Muslim, Buddhist, atheist, you know, written on the capsule, Jesus is Lord. So friends, I want to challenge you. You have the Holy Spirit. God is saying divine innovation is part of his strategy for us manifesting his glory in 2022. You must innovate. Bible says be fruitful. What does it mean? It doesn't just mean have kids. The original translation says be productive. What does it mean to be productive? Produce something that people will pay you for. People are willing to buy. People are willing to exchange something for. I just pray right now. Can you just look around? And I want you to, if you have never seen the Holy Spirit as a source of innovation, I want you to look around. You must speak. You must create. You speak. Mm. You must, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Samson didn't just, he looked around. What can I do? Why do we solve this problem? Child, infant mortality, pad poverty. Girls are struggling to get pads. People are struggling to go to school. Lord, how do I solve this problem to bring glory to your name? Like Pastor said, that pastor's definition, he ended by saying, adding value and benefit and to humanity and mankind, that God may be glorified.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, thank you.
Jesus, Lord.
Father, thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jesus.
I just sense, Ezekiel, as you were speaking, it's tearing. People are being reminded of things that they are buried inside them. Things they have, ideas are coming back to life. You know, as we're praying before the meeting tonight, I just sense God is raising the dead. And you said something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit creating life. So right now, I just want us to all pray. Everyone watching tonight, the things that are buried, the things that are dead, ideas, a tiny idea that has been there all along. You thought about it, but you've buried it. I sense tonight is a call to action. I sense tonight is a time for these things to come to life now by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is actually a life-giving spirit. It's the Spirit of God. Let life come back to someone right now. Let those ideas come back to life. Let those things you've always wanted to do, you've wanted, but right now it becomes reality. Receive a stirring and receive the energy, the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to do that which is a creation, that which is new, that which is there. Begin to see. And the Holy Spirit also opens our eyes. Let us begin to see the things around us, the things around us that needs our solution. Because every one of us has been given the power to create. Even the youngest child. You see the things children come up with? That is the creative ability that God puts inside every mankind. Father, tonight, we just say, Lord, let the dead come back to life. Let things begin to
come back. Die, yes. Lord, your spirit brood over them.
Yes, Lord.
The valley,
yes.
Oh God. Father, shall dry bones, can these dry bones leave? Lord, let your spirit brood upon inspiration. I hear the Holy Spirit tell me to tell somebody that the money, you have buried it because you thought it's not giving you money. It's money is the byproduct. Value is the main purpose. When you can change a life and transform a life, money will follow. Don't put money before the eternal value. Don't put money before eternal value. Some of you have buried it because you thought, oh, there's no money coming in. The Lord said, no, it might take time. It might take time. The recognition might take time. Mazakayagada. There's somebody here. God, Holy Spirit just reminded me to share this. I saw in the scriptures, God told me, He said, do good. Trust in the Lord, trust in me and do good and you will inherit the land. Trust me and do good and inherit the land. And I was like, God, I want my stay. God said, no, go and volunteer. Go and be volunteering. Pastor remembers when I went to and started volunteering and even in church, in citizen advice bureau, they weren't paying me. And he said, yeah, go and volunteer. And I was volunteering and church in the place. I didn't know that years later, those volunteering activities and seeds that were sown, the judge in the court case Pastor, you were there. The judge looked at that at the volunteering. I wasn't paid, but he looked at it, and the volunteering spoke. The good work spoke because I trusted him and I did good, and I inherited the land. The Lord is saying, do good. Don't put money first. Whether you are starting a fitness class, whether you are starting a dieting class, whether you are helping, whatever it is, put value on lives first, and the Lord will reward you in due season. Thus says the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Strong confirmation, Ezekiel. Jesus, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and what did he do? He went about doing good. He wasn't going about looking for money. He went about doing good. Doing good. Healing. Delivering. Just changing people's circumstances and situation. You do good. You do good. And the good of the land will come to you. Father, we just thank you. Anything good that you have seen, do good. Do good. Let good motivate you. Let compassion for humanity motivate. Father, we just thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord. There's somebody here, there's somebody on this meeting. The Lord just showed me the picture of him turning water to wine. The Lord is saying, use what you have. Use what you have. Your CV, you looked at your CV, it is not adequate. But the Lord is telling you to send it the way it is, with the inadequacy. With the inadequacy. The Lord is telling somebody to, there are some moves that you are waiting to get the money complete before you put in the offer, before you step forward. The Lord is saying, by my spirit, I want you to step out in faith and trust me. Ask, use the jawbone of that dog. It looks insignificant. I'm sensing it strongly that somebody in the valley of decision right now, that you are saying, it's not possible. I've not there, they rejected me. The Lord said, go back there. Go back there. They said they have rejected you. Said, no, tell them that you want to volunteer. They shouldn't pay you. You want to volunteer. Do something unusual. Because that is what the Holy Spirit is going to capitalize and give life. That the glory might be his alone. Glory might be his alone. If you have all the money, you will say it is your money. But if you don't have the money and you ask and you apply and you tender and you offer to buy it, the Lord will show himself strong and mighty on your behalf. I hear the Lord telling me, my spirit is brooding. My spirit is brooding. Speak. Call it forth. The things that be not as though they are. The job hasn't come. But be creating it. Creating it in your power room, on your knees. Create it. Apply, create it, and watch me do, innovate and bring solutions and knock down walls and destroy Philistines, and 10,000 will fall by your right and 10,000 by your left. None will come near your dwelling. With your eyes, you will touch, you will handle. Says the Lord. Stop demeaning yourself. Stop saying how the people see you. The innovative power of God is by speaking. Turn that, pray over that water. It will turn. Pray over that water. You will watch God innovate it from water to wine. Put your product. Design it. Don't worry about marketing. Don't worry about sale. Just give it out for free. You will see what I will do in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. People, is a call for action tonight. Call for action. Enough of talk. Let's start working. Enough of talking, we start walking. Father, we just thank you tonight. Lord, thank you for this stirring. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of creation, the creative power. Thank you for resurrecting the dead. Thank you. Thank you for the life that, Lord, you've given to us to create, to go forth in the power of your spirit tonight. Father, we just give you all the glory. all the glory. In the name of Jesus. 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 Wow. A lot to chew. That's amazing seeing those innovations in the Bible. You know, we read the Bible, but until it comes alive by the help of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about divine innovation. Can we just see it demonstrated practically in the Bible and even in our world? Let us go tonight, people. Let's go in this power. Let's go in this revelation. Let's go in this might. And Father, we just thank you for your Son, as he has spoken, as you've watered us through him, water him also. Amen. Let him be the first partaker of this, of the fruit of this word, as you confirm every word spoken to us tonight. We say, be it unto us according to your word, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, prophesy, this time next week, the testimonies will come from the word you've heard tonight, because Amen. you put them to practice, people.
Amen.
You put them to practice. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.